Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I have Scott Ringling. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Ringline, almost Ringline. How it sounds. Yeah.
Okay. How's it going, Scott? How are you?
Good. Thanks. Thanks, William.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So a little background. I spent 30 years in the automotive industry. I'm an engineer by trade, undergrad mechanical, master's in manufacturing. And then in 08, along with thousands of others, that was the end of my automotive career and went out on my own. And my first real gig was with the Department of Energy. I worked on the American Recovery Act for a couple of years, really got me involved in energy efficiency, new technologies. And then in 2011, I started the Energy Alliance Group.
Oh, nice. So after the 2008 crash, you were forced to become, let's say, your own entrepreneur. Was that scary for you at that point, knowing how the market was, jobs were being lost? How did you get through it?
Well, one, I'm a positive thinker, so I'm all about half full, not half empty. And I did the, hey, let's go out and look for a job. And what really changed it for me is I went to a recruiting event in the Detroit area. And I walked in and it was like being in the movie, The Matrix. Everybody had suits on.
Right.
Everybody were holding their resumes. There were thousands of people there and they were just collecting paper. They weren't hiring people. They were really just collecting paper.
Right.
And that's when I decided, you know what? I got to go out and find something on my own. And that's what I did. I started out really just doing everything for friends and family, building decks, doing lawn, painting. And then I hired an executive coach. And over about a 6-month period, kind of figured out, all right, what are my skill sets? What I really want to do? I moved into business planning and business development, helping entrepreneurs. And then slowly, that's what led me to my path to the Department of Energy and where I'm at today. I've not worked for anyone since 08. And it was scary, certainly. But what I tell people, it's been the greatest experience of my life. It has. I've met so many great people. I have an opportunity to meet people like yourself, you know,
likewise,
getting into podcasting and really doing some great things for our clients, too.
And it's amazing, though. I have to give you credit because you took that journey. You took the step. You wasn't afraid to get out there and take control of your own life. So we get into the energy field. So how does that relate, let's say, to real estate or to any other form of business? You know,
yeah.
How do we benefit from having you on our team, so to speak?
Yeah. So probably the biggest thing that I came across is in 2011, 2012, we got involved with a company out in California that was doing lighting. They manufactured their own lighting. But what changed the perspective is they had their own funding. And they were funding these projects for 10 to 15 years, which at that time was completely unheard of,
right,
especially for lighting. So, you know, that was really an eye-opener that, hey, I can do these projects. They're cash flow positive from day one all the way through the entire payment period. And as we started to progress and started looking at other financial aspects, we ran across the program called PACE, which is an acronym for Property Assessed Clean Energy. And that just changed everything, not only for our company, but also for the industry as whole. And not sure if you're familiar with it, but that's what really changed what we were doing. And now we focus a lot on the tool, educate people about what it is, how it can be used, and specifically how the tool can be used to improve our buildings.
Okay, so give us an example if you can, because that is something that, especially in this day and age, and I'm pretty sure you go through this, landlords are always looking to save any type of money they can. I'm pretty sure also if you deal with shopping malls or anything like that, anything that a landlord has, they're looking
at
some type, especially on the energy side.
Yeah. So I'll give a couple of specifics in regards to those types of properties. Currently, we're doing a mall here in the Detroit area. It's about a $4.5 million project. It's a 1 million square foot building. We're replacing well over 3,000 different types of fixtures, interior, exterior, putting controls in, and then we're using PACE to finance it. 15 years fixed rate. It's actually a property tax assessment. So on the balance sheet, it's not a debt. It's an expense. It's non-recourse, transfers with the property. And by law in the state of Michigan, it has to be cash flow positive from day one all the way through. This is going to be a 15-year assessment. So what's beautiful about the program is it's, you know, tax assessments been around since the 1700s, and they've been using them for infrastructure improvements where they'll place an assessment on a building when they improve a road. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the building owner has to pay for this over a 25-year period. But if they sell the building, then the next owner takes it over.
Right.
So same structure, but now they're looking at buildings as infrastructures, but the money can only be used for three purposes: energy efficiency improvements, water conservation, and renewable energy. And the game changer is that through the assessment, we can get access to funding 25, 30-year terms.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's really the change, because say you want to do a $4.5 million lighting upgrade and you go to a traditional funder. If you ask for a 10 or 15-year term, they're going to laugh you right out of the office.
Right.
And so it's allowing building owners to purchase a building that needs a lot of improvements, but they don't have to use their cash to do it. They can take an assessment. There's no money down. It's not like an 80-20 split or anything like that. And typically you can get access to 20 to 30% of the property's value to use towards these types of improvements.
Right.
Now, one thing that's unique about it, it's state-based. So, you know, New York is a PACE state. There's 35 states that participate. So every state is different. They have different rules of engagement. But for the most part, they're all the same structure. It's a tax assessment.
Right.
You can do all these types of improvements. And it's allowing building owners to look beyond just the low-hanging fruit. We did a project here in Michigan where we replaced close to 300 windows in an apartment building that was built back in the 20s and still had the original single pane windows.
Oh, wow.
And it was cash flow positive from day one. We got a 20-year term fixed rate. And the other thing is, in traditional capital, the lender and the company that's taking on the capital investment, they only look at the capital. They never look at the expense and maintenance expenses.
Right.
Where with PACE, it combines both of them. So when we're looking at, oh, well, what's the improvement on the financials? It's not just the reduction of utilities. It's also, hey, you're not going to be paying this type of money from a maintenance standpoint. And the easiest to describe it is a light bulb. You got a parking lot light bulb. It's a 1,000-watt metal halide. Its life might be 15,000 hours. Right. So you got a guy in a lift truck, maybe once a year or once every couple of years, going up there and changing it. Where if you're replacing it with an LED that's going to last, say, 75,000 hours, now you're not changing it for 15 years. Oh. Well, that's a lot of maintenance costs that have been deferred. But in a traditional capital request, no one looks at that. They look at what's the cost to purchase and when am I going to see a return on an investment? And that's really what's really changed it.
Wow. It's funny because this is something that I'm learning as I'm speaking to you. Is traditional bank financing a part of this type of business, or you look for maybe private lenders, hard money lenders? Now, how does the financing work?
Yeah, great question. So in most states, the money's coming from private lenders. They have to be approved. Not anybody can participate. But here in Michigan, we're on what's called an open market. So the money can really come from any investment group, but most of it is investors that are managing pension funds, 401ks, insurance annuities, and stuff like that. They're looking for a very long-term investment that's very secure. Well, with a tax, you're securing it against the building, not the building owner. Uh-huh. So if there's a default, it doesn't matter whether you have PACE or not. When an owner defaults and the county or city takes over that building, when it's sold, what's the first dollar out? Tax.
Yeah.
So it mitigates the investor's risk. And if somebody buys the building, they're only required to pay the back taxes, not the entire principal, because those improvements are fixed to the building and they're just going to transfer to the next owner. Now, somebody that holds the mortgage, so your senior debt, yeah, they have a piece of the action to the building, but more importantly, they're going to go after the owner to recover it. And so while taxes still take a first position over senior debt, it's not affecting their ability to go after the owner to collect it.
Right.
And then whoever comes in and purchases it, if there's some type of buyout on the mortgage side, well, they don't have to come up with a sack of cash to pay off the PACE assessment and the mortgage. All they're paying is, okay, it sat for 3 years. It accrued 3 years of tax assessment payments. Pay that first, then you pay whatever else is off.
Okay.
So like I said, it gives either current building owners or especially those that are purchasing buildings a way to leverage money that they don't necessarily have today. And it's not considered personal property. It's actually affixed to the building. So it's actually raising the value of the building right from day one. So when we do a project, we get to take advantage of typically 60 to 90% of that value and add it on to the current value of the building. So you have to have an appraised value to know what it's worth.
So does this plan work for, I'm assuming, single families, warehouses? Do you prefer to work with new buildings or can you work with existing buildings that might be 70, 80, 100 years old? How would a landlord that has a building from the 1920s, let's say 8 units, benefit from that?
Yeah. So first and foremost, it has to exist in the state that you're in. I read that you do some business in Pennsylvania. Well, that's a PACE state.
Right.
So once the state adopts it, the state does not collect taxes. The local community does, or local authorities do. So you have to create this PACE district. So once that exists, typically any owner of an industrial, commercial, multifamily, some allow nonprofits and faith-based buildings to participate.
Right.
Now, each lender has some certain restrictions in regards to total loan to value or the percentage of assessment against the value. Like I said, the range is typically 20 to 30%.
Right.
Although we've run across some lenders that, oh, it's a faith-based and our underwriters are only going to allow us to go 20%, even though they don't have debt against the building.
Right.
So first and foremost, it's really understanding, does it exist in your, you know, your backyard, and then how you can use it. You know, one of the questions you had is about who's funding it and uses. We also have projects where we're combining traditional funding along with PACE funding because right. they're not competing against each other. The biggest thing is that whoever has a lien against the building, they have to provide consent to take on this additional lien through the tax assessment. And although I would say 99% of the time, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. There are some of those cases where whoever holds senior debt or first position lien, they don't want to give it, but it then forces them to get a little more creative on, hey, I own this building. I can go out and find money to basically buy you out.
Right.
So some of them that won't give consent, they actually then, all right, well, we'll work around your needs and come up with a type of funding and terms you need to improve your building. Because bottom line is when that building gets approved or improved, their loan to value actually is going to get less, but improve. Now the building's worth more.
Right.
Chances are you might have better tenants. You're going to be able to raise your rent and pay the mortgage. So it has benefits on both sides.
It definitely does. And I see these new buildings now, Scott. There was one building I went to, I think it was the Bank of America building. And this is maybe like 8 to 10 years ago. And I think if I remember correctly, like when you walked on a platform and let's say you were in the rain, it had some type of like heating system that it.
Yeah.
So, and I never heard of that. To be honest, I haven't even seen that since.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking forward for the future? Now, besides obviously the floor, we got windows. Anything else that we could use to save on energy bills? It could be endless possibilities.
Quite honestly, it is. Again, it's going to be driven by whatever the legislation is in the state. But here in Michigan, what we tell our clients is if we can calculate either a reduction in energy or a reduction in water use, the technology typically can be approved and paid for through PACE. Believe it or not, some states do not allow it for new construction, which is crazy because typically a developer in new construction, their focus is what? Keep initial costs down. Yeah. So they're willing to, hey, whatever I got to do to meet code, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to go any higher.
Right.
In states where PACE exists, you can use this money right on top of your current capital stack. You're not pulling money out of your own pocket, but now say you want to put in geothermal. So we're doing a project here in Detroit. It's a multifamily building. They want to do geothermal. We're helping them secure PACE dollars to do it. Geothermal is going to be 80% more efficient than a traditional heating and cooling system. And the savings of utility cost and maintenance cost is going to pay for that assessment. The way it's set up is they never take a dime out of their pocket
right,
to make these improvements. But when it's new construction and you're dealing with a developer, they want to keep costs down. They want to keep their costs down to a minimum. They build to code. And anytime, you know, an architect is saying, oh, we should do all these fancy windows or solar or LED and all these neat controls and stuff, they're like, no. And what we really run into, which is industry-wide, is that the cost and payback is really the primary deterrent to doing these improvements, whether it's with an existing building or a new building. You know, it's either too expensive and they don't have the capital, or they have internal targets of, well, I have to have an ROI by year two or year three.
Right.
Well, a lot of these things take time, especially renewables. They take time. Geothermal takes time. Windows, doors, roofs. And that's why they're not doing it. I mean, nobody's doing it. Statistically, 98% of all the capital requests for these types of improvements don't get approved because you can't.
But aren't the landlords down the road are going to see a savings? I mean, like, it seems like all the developers, are they looking to not cash out, but get the saving like yesterday when if they wait maybe a year or two or down the road, they could get the savings. But
it's
pretty much like you said, they just want to get the building done, stay at cost. Is there a way for you to show these potential landlords or building owners, developers that, hey, if you do this by year one, by year two, by year three, you'll see a savings across the board?
Yeah, 100%. That's really the whole basis of the program, is that, again, by law, you have to show not only the owner of the building, but also like the PACE administrator, that by incorporating these improvements, it's going to be cash flow positive from day one. And so the way they measure it, they say that the savings to cost ratio has to be greater than one. So for, you know, if your assessment costs a dollar every year, your savings has to cost a dollar and a penny type thing.
Right.
And so it forces companies like us that do this to, one, look at a combination of improvements that can offset that cost, and you get the time. That's the other thing, is now I can get 15, 20 years to pay for it, and the model includes maintenance and end-of-life replacement. So again, we'll use the mall here in Detroit that we're doing. Some of the lights are on 24 hours a day, and we're going to have a 15-year assessment. Well, in year nine, there's a lot of the lights that would have to be replaced. The cost to do it is put in the financial model, and it still has to be cash flow positive. Right. So they know that they're going to have this expense in the future, and where's the money going to come from? The savings that you're accruing over a period of time.
Right.
It also allows us to get involved with maintenance program. So that's one of the things that we're offering to this client, is that there'll be a 15-year maintenance program, no cost out of pocket, because we predict what that cost is going to be. It's escrowed. It doesn't matter who owns the building. There will always be money there to fund the maintenance during that assessment period. And so it's structured that way. It makes sense, because typically I came out of the industry, maintenance is the last thing to be done. You know, oh, the light bulb's out. Well, don't worry about it. It's just going to be dark, rather than, hey, we have the money to do it.
Right.
It's a completely different thought process, and it forces companies to do things that they typically never do, or they're not comfortable in doing. In fact, we had a customer, we only use cash. Okay, that's great. However, in the cash model, the things that we wanted to do did not meet their internal rate of return. Mm-hmm. But by funding it over a 25-year period, they kept their cash. They could invest it into their process. They were manufacturing. They're in the food industry. So I'm sure dollar for dollar, they're going to get a bigger bang for the buck by doing that than replacing a roof. And now we can take this money that's not coming out of their pocket and utilize it to improve their building.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's some companies out there just not willing to change. Sorry, nope, we only do cash. And then what do? They put a Band-Aid on the roof and they keep moving on. And so with that Band-Aid, they're not looking at, geez, how much money are you losing because your energy bills are so much higher because you have inadequate insulation and you have leaks. Unfortunately, CFOs don't look at that side of it. They look at what's the capital, not what's it going to cost us to maintain, and how are we going to prove the operation through energy efficiencies.
And you have the proven model that you're saving these landlords money, the developers money, because at the end of the day, it's all about obviously cash flow, but also energy efficiency, because yeah, you know, in certain buildings, I'm assuming you might have to pay for those charges or pass it along to the tenants, but still now the tenants get to save some money because all of a sudden now they're seeing their energy costs going down. So for you though, Scott, how do you get the word out? Like, what kind of presentation can you show these landlords or developers? Like, when you do meet with them, do you have a presentation that you have to go through? Do you have to show them testimonials? I mean,
yeah,
it's like a tough tax for you because less saving the money, but these guys seem to be so hard-headed that, we don't know. How do you get your word out?
Yeah, well,
help on our end with the podcast, obviously.
Right, right. So, you know, that's one thing I tell my staff is that we're educators first, because most people don't know that PACE and some of these other tools exist. So we educate. I'm also a believer in self-education. So there's a lot of resources out there that we refer them to, but a lot of it's driven by case studies. I speak at a lot of conferences around the U.S. that are focused on facility maintenance and stuff like that. And this is the first time they see it. And so really I focus on, here's the tool, this is how it works, and this is how it's being used. You know, here's a case study where we replaced all these windows and they're saving this kind of money, and people be like, well, wow, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but guess what? Before they had single pane windows, the windows were 80 years old. Where are you going to get parts for an 80-year-old window? So it was costing them a fortune in maintenance, and it was a historic building. So they couldn't just do whatever they wanted to do. And so as you start talking about these successes, for instance, I was talking about the roof. This company purchased a 70,000 square foot facility. It badly needed a new roof. Well, we put together a proposal where not only could they get a new roof, they could get a 1 megawatt solar system installed on the roof and pay for all the maintenance, including inverter replacement in year 20. Funded for 25 years, no money out of their pocket, and it was cash flow positive from day one, and it was still 3% cash flow positive in year 25.
Wow.
Most of us would be like, oh my God, let's go do it. In that case, they're like, well, we only pay cash. What does it look like in cash? Terrible. You know, it's terrible, but that's just how they are. And then in the end, we try not to work too hard to make a no a yes. If they're nope, all right, well, guess what? There's a whole lot of other people out there that are willing to listen and they'll say yes. And there are. I mean, that's the thing, is that there's a lot of people that want to use the tool. They don't have access to capital, especially nonprofits. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't have capital. They can't go out and get 15, 20-year terms from a traditional lender. And so now you have this tool here that they can. Oh, geez, that roof that we've been putting off for the last 10 years, now I have a way to pay for it. I can get a term that's long-term, and it's something that we can actually afford.
Right.
And again, when we're doing it, we're also looking at what's the best we can do for the client. Let's make sure we put as much insulation in there, make sure we get long-term warranties. I mean, roofers, we can get 20, 25 year warranties, and they'll do annual inspections and stuff like that. So it allows our clients to look at things that they would never, ever consider because they don't have access to the tools and they don't know where to look, but that's not their fault. They're busy doing what they're doing, making their widgets or, you know, in a commercial, providing a place for their tenants and stuff like that. So
Scott, is this something that an individual could do on their own? Let's say if they have their own home, they could reach out to someone like you, and because it's not always just corporations, but it could be the individual single family homeowner.
Correct. That is one downfall of the program, is there's only so many states that allow single family residentials to use it. California, Florida, Ohio, Michigan does not. It's slowly moving that way. But for the most part, it's typically multifamily, single family residential. You know, like in Florida, we're working with a developer right now. He's building a new development. It'll be single family homes. And he, as the developer, can then use these dollars to make improvements to the house itself. Even in the state of Florida, the improvements for hurricanes, the windows and stuff like that, they all qualify under this program. So it's helping people to build to a code that typically they can't afford. They don't want to do it.
Right.
You know, California, the seismic improvements that they're doing to the buildings, it helps pay for those types of costs also. So hopefully legislators will start seeing more of the benefit to single family residential. But right now it's really focused on industrial commercial, which of course are the largest users. And if you look at it statistically, and I think we have somewhere around 6 million industrial commercial buildings, 50% of them are 50 years old, and 80% of them have 30-year-old technology.
Wow.
And people be like, why? It's because we're just set up that way. Our financial systems are such that these big improvements, it doesn't make sense to companies to do it because they're looking at, well, I need a 2-year payback, or I'm only going to be here 5 years. Right. So let the next guy worry about it. And PACE eliminates those concerns because it's, all right, you do it, it just goes to the next owner. Don't be so focused on, oh, you know, I have to have a quick payback because I want to flip this building and sell it.
Yeah. Wow. It's so sad that anybody would try to fight against this in terms of you're providing a service, or whether it's your company or any other company.
Right.
You're trying to get the word out that you're saving energy. You're going to reap the rewards, whether it's 2, 3, 4, whatever down the line. Like you said, I just think that, like you said, it seems like you're educating people first, and then maybe some owner, some landlord, some developer will say, okay, you know what? Let's do this. Because not only for me personally, if I'm getting a building and we have PACE here in the city, I'm going to reach out to you and like, hey, Scott, listen, I'm looking to save some energy costs because I don't want to pass it on to my tenants. I want to keep my tenants.
Yep.
What can we do?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing too, is that there's ways to benefit the tenants because most tenants pay their own utilities. And sure. So the way PACE is structured, whoever takes on the assessment, they have to show the path of repayment. You know, how are they going to pay it? Well, if your tenant is benefiting from it because they have lower utilities, all right, well, in our rent, there is a fixed assessment which can be calculated. And now they're basically paying for the improvement through their rent, mm-hmm. but they're benefiting from the reduced energy costs. So Energy Star appliances, controls on their lighting, LED lighting, low flush toilets. We go into buildings all the time. There's toilets out there that are still using 3-4 gallons of flush, and they're not doing anything about it because they don't think they have the means to do it. And so there's more and more programs out there that are focusing on efficiency. The big thing is, well, we don't want to build any more power plants. Okay, I get that. But unless we reduce what we're using, they will eventually have to. I mean, people aren't stopping, you know, our population is not leveling off and going to reduce. There will always be need. Well, we waste a lot. So why don't we focus on the waste first? And that's kind of one of our taglines, you know, reduce first before produce. people want to put in solar, and then you go to their building and it's like, well, how about we get rid of those 1,000-watt metal halides first, because now we can reduce the amount of solar that you're going to need from a, you know, a sheer size of the system.
No, it's amazing. I mean, Scott, I really appreciate you being here. But before we go, you know, someone like you, and I always get these questions for me to ask entrepreneurs like yourself, how do you structure your day? Like, what does Scott do from beginning to, let's say, when he goes, when he's off work mode?
Yeah. Well, my wife, God bless her, she's the full-time worker in the house. Okay. And so I'm the caretaker. There's a dog behind me sleeping right now. And so I take care of the house, but it's no different than anybody else. Today I had a meeting at 9 o'clock in Detroit, and my wife gets home at 4:30. We have dinner together, watch some TV. She gets up early. She goes to bed. I go back to the office. I mean, I love what I do. I work out of the house most of the time. And so my days are typically long. I work on the weekends and stuff like that. But
entrepreneurs do, right, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. But at the same time, I make sure that I structure it where, like I said, when she gets home around 4:30, the phone stays in the office, the computer's off, and it's my time with her. And when she goes to bed, I'll just go back into the office. So
to work. No, it's amazing. Yeah. So yeah. Scott, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best way?
Yeah. So especially for your listeners that are driving, a real easy kind of a way to do it is just type in whatspossible.today. So it's not a .com or .org. It's just whatspossible.today. And that'll take you right to our contact page. And then on the website, you can see some case studies and stuff like that and resources that they can look into. Because again, PACE is in over 35 states now, DC. It's moved into Europe, Canada, Australia. It's really becoming a tool to improve our buildings, infrastructure, reduce energy, reduce water usage and stuff like that. So this, it's been around since 2009, but it's one of those things, you know, you're talking about, geez, God, if I knew it, I would want to use it. Still, there's so many people out there. It's just too good to be true.
At the end of the day, that's what it is, I bet. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is, I'm saving money. I might a little bit. I don't know. There's something wrong here. Yeah, yeah, I agree. But I think, I'm hoping that if it's in 35 states, then eventually it'll get to all 50. I mean, if...
Oh, yeah.
It's already 35, so I guess it's just a matter of time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's an organization, PACE Nation, so pacenation.org out of Washington, D.C. It's a nonprofit. That is the go-to for PACE.
Okay.
You can get case studies, legislation, where is it at? And that's really been the big thing, is that a state will adopt it, but without people like us that are educating and pushing for it, getting it down to those that can use it takes time. You know, a lot of people are like, how come I never heard of it? I'm like, so when's the last time you paid attention to what's going on in your Capitol building and laws and stuff like that? I'm like, it just takes time for everybody to learn. So,
yeah, no, well, listen, we'll definitely get the word out, because it's, again, at the end of the day, we want to save money. And that's what you're trying to do. Scott, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, William. I really, really appreciate it, and glad I got the chance to share some of my knowledge with your listeners.
No, definitely. And we'll definitely have more information on the show notes and all that. And again, Scott, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Scott Ringline of EnergyAllianceGroup.org. That's EnergyAllianceGroup.org. You can find Scott also as sringline@energyalliancegroup.com. That's S as in Sam, Ring, RingLein at energyalliancegroup.org. Scott, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. And before I go, guys, there's a couple of things. If you go to peer2peerrealestate.com, that's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our shows, check out our blog, check out our resource page as we try to update these as fast as possible. Also, if you go to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast, please subscribe. Leave a review, give us a rating, tell us how we can make this show better. And if you're happy with it, please give us that 5-star. Believe me, it'll help us. And before I go, and you know, I always go to this field, don't give up on your dreams. Guard it with your life. Don't let anyone talk you out of what you want to do. If you want to become an entrepreneur, then do it. If you want to pursue a career, then do it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Again, it's your life. Live it the way you want. Anyway, guys, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show, I'm your host, Willie Morales. Until next time, thank you, everyone, and have a great, great day. Bye.